So, Mitch, the first question I have for you is, can you give us a quick history of your business background?
Sure. I started a rock band in high school. Turned out to be a very successful band. Played a role in the future of my life, actually. Later, I went on to start a software company and grew that software company to over $10 million in sales and sold it. I started that for $5,000, by the way. And then I did various things in between my software company, and then I began working with Tony Robbins. And Tony, myself, and Chet Holmes built a company together called Business Breakthroughs International, where we had over 300 people working with us. And we ended up growing that very dramatically, very quickly, to well over $25 million in revenue. The thing that was most successful for our growth was our radio advertisements.
Well, before you get to that, how did you meet Tony Robbins?
How I met Tony Robbins is it was because of my friendship with Chet. So when I started working with Chet, Tony had no role in what we were doing together. It was just Chet and I, and we had a lot of great things going on at the time. And what Chet had done is reached out to Tony and said, how can we figure out a way to do business together? And it was in that question and in that pursuing of Tony that Tony finally came to the table and said, I like what you're doing. I'd like to work with you. Let's find a way to work together. So Tony, Chet, and I ended up on phone calls together every Thursday night for months trying to figure out the business model.
So when you decide you're going to start to market and advertise, how do you get introduced to radio? It's not something that a lot of new businesses say, I need to be on the radio, unfortunately. But so how did you get introduced to radio?
Well, it turns out that Chet had experimented with radio before. And what ended up happening was that he had what I would call a moderate success with radio. And what I started to do was when I got involved, and I also had no radio experience, I just started to optimize. And the more I optimized, the more the better and better results we received until eventually we had dialed in the formula. And then when we did, radio was killer for us. It was blockbuster killer. And then and it was already great. But then we ended up putting Tony Robbins on the radio too. And that really was the key, because with Tony's voice on the radio, people knew him. People obviously wanted to hear more from him and what he's doing. And it drove our cost per lead down from about $36 per lead down to $6 per lead. Now, the quality of the leads was not as good, to be honest, because some people were attracted to Tony because it was Tony, not because they were interested in our offer. So that's when we had to continue to optimize to make sure that we were, in fact, getting our best possible audience.
When you say you continue to optimize, can you be more specific about what you did?
Well, we tried to optimize from three different perspectives, maybe four, actually. The first was the message that we were delivering. We had, at any one time, we were always testing between 6 and 12 different messages. And in many ways, a lot of our success was based on the ability to continue to experiment and try different messages. The next thing that we did was optimization of audiences. And once we realized who our true audience was, we then had a choice of stations all over the country, and we then chose the ones we thought would most likely work and optimized those. Then we had to optimize schedule. Did we want drive time? Did we want day parts other than, you know, morning? And we had to figure that out. Then we optimized on paid full price ads versus remnant ads. And we found that, you know, we had to optimize on that well. And there was a mixture. It turned out that, you know, it was absolutely a mixture for us. So there was a lot of optimizing always going on. And I was the only one doing it because it was too valuable. I mean, we were spending $1 million, million plus a year. I didn't want somebody, you know, to just jump in if they weren't well trained.
Well, you didn't give up on radio. Why?
Well, I mean, we saw the potential right away. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you could do internet, and internet is great. and of course, you know, you're going to find a certain number of your buyers on the web, no doubt. And that may be enough for you. However, once you realize that over 90% of the U.S. population is touched every week by radio, you realize pretty quickly that you're missing out if you don't.
You know, you've told the story of the success of radio just as good as any radio executive can tell it. Why do you think that radio has had a hard time catching up ad-wise, revenue-wise, you know, when you compare it to the way the internet's growing and TV and not so much newspaper anymore, but, you know, we can't seem to get a lot of traction to grow the revenue. Why is that?
Well, you know, the radio industry is a closed industry. There have been several efforts to open the radio industry and actually break it wide open. In fact, I was involved with a software company that built a radio advertising app where anybody can go on and shop for radio ads and get them and place their order right through our app. But the stations resisted us being around even. They refused to give us inventory. And eventually we had to shut our doors because the truth is that if the industry you're in doesn't want to play with you, then you don't really have a business.
Are you saying it's too clicky?
Way too clicky. And on top of that, they're trying to make sure that their salespeople, are doing the majority of the selling. And that's fine, except that, you know, radio networks are missing out huge, bigly, as someone we know says. So the bottom line is that if radio were to open its doors and invite small business in, offer packages that appeal to radio, work with each other, even if it's, I guess if you have a network, work within your own network to create packages, which again is odd and rare in the industry. Now, we ended up building our own packages because I knew how to do that. And I had once you place as much ads on radio as I did, you have to gain experience. It's just that simple. And I learned as much as I could possibly learn about radio. And I even put it in my first book, The Invisible Organization. There's a whole chapter on how to deal with radio agencies, because most of the time they don't know as much as they should about getting clients on radio as well.
How did you know radio was working for you once you had it all optimized?
Okay, so that's a very good question. Like the internet, you have unbelievable tracking metrics available if you know how to use them. So one of the things that we did is we assigned a different 800 number to every single creative that we built, recorded, and then we had schedules of when our ads were going to be live. And we knew the stations they were going to be on and what time they were going to run. So all we had to do was, and this is not perfect, you understand, but match up the locales with the 800 numbers, which we did inside of our PBX, online PBX. And immediately we were able to build a profit report right out of that.
How important is it to keep the kind of statistics you did? You said you went down from $36 cost per customer to six, and you're optimizing the ads and you're changing the stations and you're listening to the message. You can't just throw things up against the wall and hope that they work.
So true. Well, also keep in mind that, who knows, you might get lucky. But as the late Fred Katona used to say, Fred was responsible for getting William Shatner to be the Priceline representative for the Priceline brand, which at first was TV and then massive on radio. And Fred was my mentor in this. He taught me so much before he passed. What Fred used to always say is that you never know until you continue to test. So even if things are good, we never stopped testing because we found stuff that could be even better. And we kept testing that too. The other thing is that it's very important that if you're selling a thing or a service, that if you don't have something that your sale leads to. In other words, if you sell, we used to sell webinars for back then when you could sell webinars, for $229. But we knew in that webinar we were selling a $4,000 home study program, and we closed 40% in that webinar. So we knew that we could lose a little bit of money up front on conversions, because the lifetime value of a $239 customer was well over $11,000 to us. So we understood that. We did the math. We did we built the product pipeline and knew that once we sold something, we would likely sell something else.
What advice do you have for advertisers that are afraid to give radio a try?
Well, most of the time you're looking for new channels because the old channels start to wear out. And I think if you're doing anything and it's going gangbusters for you, keep doing it. If you want to be smart about it and add a second or third leg to your revenue stool, as they say, then try radio slowly. Go at it. Spend, a small amount of money, like $5,000, which I don't consider a large amount of money. Some people might. Spend $5,000 for testing. Usually I could run a test campaign with $2,500 a week for 4 weeks and get you very dialed in, like really close. If I work with the client, I'm always going to be optimizing, but that's a place where we can get really darn close. Now, Tony Robbins hired me again after we didn't work together after 5 years of working, and I then built another radio campaign for him as well. And on the very first try, on the optimization cycle, we were able to break even, which was a huge success. Normally, you don't on optimization.
Entercom CEO David Field often says that radio is punching below its weight class. Do you think radio is underpriced?
Well, yes and no. I think that the potential for radio is huge, but because of the industry itself, I have to say no. I think radio is probably going to get cheaper because the industry is preventing it from actually flourishing. And if the industry were to get out of the way and let people participate and let guys like me who come in and invest money to build software to help small businesses, then you just can't turn those people down because they're only increasing your market.
And lastly, what advice do you have for radio executives?
Open your eyes and see how the rest of the world works. You know that this is a big world and you have competitors out there. There should be co-opetition. If you're a small station and you only have two or three broadcasting sites, then partner with others, build packages, go out and talk to people. The reason agencies don't like radio is because they don't know how to do it. And when they do it, it doesn't work. So they drop it. When you know how to do radio, when you understand what the market is, and by the way, not every business is perfect for radio, but when it is, then all you have to do is hang in there, get your optimization right, and radio should work for just about anybody who is willing to put in the time to both test it and then grow it.